Canto 10. When we were in the threshold of the gate, so rarely used because of misused love, the fault that makes the crooked way look straight, I heard it boom shut. Would I be excused, I thought, if I should turn my eyes to it? We climbed through a rock's cleft, which turned one way, and then the other in a manner fit for waves that flood and flee but never stay. Here it would suit to use a little art and alternate the side we fasten to, since each moves close before it draws apart. So said my guide about what we should do. It made our steps so small, the waning moon was back in bed and sinking into sleep before we left the needle's eye. But soon, upon that in the open, where the steep mountain draws back, we found our freedom. I was weary, and we both lacked certainty as to the way. We stopped, to get the lie of the land, on a place that looked to be as flat and lonely as a desert track edged by the void, walled by the mountain's face. In width, it was a man laid on his back three times across. When I searched into space, as far as my keen eye could make its flight, the terrace seemed to me to be the same. Now on the left hand and now on the right, no variation worthy of the name. Our feet had not yet moved when I perceived the curving wall, impossible to climb, was made of a white marble unrelieved except by carvings calling up the time of Polycletus, though they would have shamed nature as well as him. The angel who came down to tell mankind, which had been blamed for Adam, that there would be peace anew and heaven open now, had not been named as Gabriel, but you could tell that there he was, and carved so truly for his grace of attitude he seemed to speak. One's ear heard Ave, as he praised the lifted face of her who turned the key to love supreme, and in her bearing were the words, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, and did not seem to be but were clear as a stamp may mold a seal in wax. Let not your eye grow fond of these alone. He had me on that side of him that keeps the heart. I looked beyond the news for Mary, and then took a stride past Virgil, and drew near to make the bond by eye with what was there. Carved in the same white marble wall, the cart and oxen drew the sacred ark. Sad Oza won his fame by touching it, and men learned not to do what God had not said. But there was no name, not his, nor anyone's. There was no need for that. Before the ark appeared a crowd of seven choirs. Two senses disagreed. They're silent, said one, and they sing aloud, the other said, prevailing. Similarly, the nose and eye disputed at the smoke of incense, for its lavish pungency was there and not there, and I smelt it soak the air yet couldn't see it. And now he, the humble psalmist, more and less than king, before the blessed vessel, danced his dance, swathed merely in a cloth. To hear them sing, and watch the monarch pirouette and prance, Michael, Saul's daughter, and the king's first wife, was figured at a window straight above, and clearly she was sad about her life, and scornful at his show of higher love. Past her I moved, to where another tail gleamed white. The glorious deed of that great prince of Rome, whose gift for justice without fail moved Gregory to intercede, and since that day he has a place in paradise and not in limbo. Trajan. And a poor widow was at his bridal, and the price she paid in grief was seen there to be sore, her posture and her tears. The place around the emperor was trampled by a throng of knights, and once again I heard the sound. The eagles on the gold flags all along the grand procession felt the wind and flew. Among all this the widow seemed to say, Avenge me, Lord, for my dead son, for who but you can ease my grief? And he, Today, when I return. And she, My Lord, when you return? Her grief was urgent. You might not. And he, Then he who takes my place will do what you request. And she, What have you got of goodness if another does the good that you forget? And he, at last, You're right. Take comfort, for I must do what I should before I go. Compassion for your plight asks me to stay, and justice orders me. Nothing was ever novel in his sight, and yet he said these wise things visibly. I mean that you could see the sound, and that was new to us, because unknown on earth. While I took such delight in gazing at these images of such exceeding worth, in this depiction of humilities, distinguishing the great, and in the skill shown by the craftsmen of that sacred frieze, my poet said, "Forget about the hill for now, and look on this side. See them walk towards us, many of them, but with slow steps. They will tell us, if we make them talk, the best way to the next stairs. They must know." My eyes, content by now with rich new things, were quick to turn to him. "But, reader, don't imagine I would have you fold your wings and fall from good resolve so that you won't know how God wants you to repay your debt. Don't linger on its form, but think of what comes next, and that, as bad as things can get, beyond the great last judgments, it's not got and can't." "Master," I said, "these that we watch approaching us don't seem like people, and I don't know what they are, such a hotchpotch my vision has become." "Please understand," he said, "the grievous nature of their test has bent them double, so that even my eyesight is barely adequate at best as to their nature. But you may descry, if you try hard to pick apart what shows, beneath their folded form, how each is served with castigation as he slowly goes, crushed by the stone that keeps him tightly curved. Christians vainglorious! Tired wretches, who made sick by the mind's vision, come to trust a backward step. Is it not clear to you that we are caterpillars born and must become the angelic butterfly that sails defenseless up to judgment? Why does your poor mind float so high that it strains and fails, since you are half-formed insects and no more, nothing but worms? As when a corbel props a roof or ceiling, there is sometimes seen a figure, breast on knees, whose strangeness stops the heart of him who sees it, so I'd been impressed by these, each one bent more or less, as his sore back had more or less to bear, and one that looked resigned to his distress seemed also, by his weeping, to despair, saying, 'I'm finished,' with his will still there.